Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, we started a new category called Top 10. And in the studio today, my good friend Inspector Dave is here. He is the man with organic gardening. So Inspector Dave, first thing, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Always great to talk with you and to talk with our audience about organic gardening.
And I know that because, hey, we all have passions in life, and organic gardening is definitely one of yours. So obviously, your top 10 today is all about your gardening activities. So I'm just going to first tell our audience that they're not listed from greatest to least as you go through your top 10, but they're just 10 things that you think that you just love and people should know about. So on your top 10 list, what is number one?
Catalogs, books, and the Farmer's Almanac. Education is the first part of learning all about organic gardening. Whether you learn it through our sites or a little bit of reading on your own or a combination, but just the promise of good crops. You're reading through the books and you're getting excited now. It's, wow, I can grow really good crops out there. I can have really pretty flowers. I have some artist friends that can help me with colors so I get the right balance and the right palette in my yard. Trying to figure out a room that's going to have a view of the garden so when I'm working, I can be inspired by the different vistas I may have of the yard. And looking for different tips and growing. It's a constant learning curve. I'm learning stuff every day. I read about things in all different obscure little books. Sometimes you find just that one little tip in like 100 things, and it's just like that aha moment like kind of hits you. And then, of course, if you're working off-season, you're looking for sales on supplies that you need and getting all those good prices.
Well, I know that specifically when you put WOW on your lawns, you're always looking for those sale prices to bring it in, and you actually will stock that product. That's one of the things. And then the other thing is, you said a room with a view. When I go over to your home, we have dinner with your lovely wife, Diane, and your back porch, glass enclosed, looking out over all your flower gardens, your vegetable garden. It really is a room with a view.
Yes, it is. Yeah, maybe they did name the that book or the movie after that. But it's just a great location, and it's a northern exposure. But it's, like you said, all glass, and we have a good panoramic view of the whole yard.
And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So, Inspector Dave, on your top 10, what is number two?
Well, planning. This is the fun part where you're trying to be like a little engineer, so to speak, and try to figure everything out. You're looking at the location of where your garden is, whether it's a new garden you're going to establish or one you already have there and you want to like kind of tweak it a little bit, maybe change the shape of it or just change the exposure a little bit more. Maybe some branches on a tree need to be done out. And it's a good wintertime activity. You get your pieces of paper out and you start doing some graph paper, and there's a lot of online computer programs you can find too to lay your garden out, but I like the old-fashioned way, giving my ruler, a piece of paper and a pencil, and just kind of laying it out, you know, drawing in things and playing with the crop rotation and reviewing my notes from the last year. Try to keep that garden journal so you have a lot of notes in there, what worked, what didn't work, so you know. Looking at pictures I've taken, and pictures are fun. Like even if you just take a couple pictures a year of your garden, different angles, and you see how trees grow over the years, bushes grow, how your garden did really well maybe one particular year. And still composting. I'm doing my composting all season long, you know, all year long actually, because that's important.
Well, as you're speaking about that, and if anybody wants to watch any of our episodes, they can go to joeybee.tv, joeybee.tv, and see some of the episodes because we have done quite a number of these things here. And one of the things, and you mentioned that, wintertime to me is getting out to a bookstore and finding a good book, and some of them have the greatest garden plans. They will teach you to plan by color. They will teach you to plan if you want to attract butterflies. And again, as you become more knowledgeable, you know, we all start to create our own, and that's the great thing. But they have all these specific plans that are out there, full color, so you really know what kind of flowers are going to be grown. As you mentioned, the colors, are they going to be blending together? And that's one of the things that I like to to do in the wintertime. Now, you're number three on your top 10 gardening activities.
Well, rototilling and working this soil. Got to have a machinery in part of this top 10 here, being an old lawnmower repair guy that I've been. So I get my old 40-year-old rototiller out, and make sure it starts on a second pull every year, and start working the amendments, soil amendments into there, whether it's a green sand, bumper crop, compost, old grass clippings, all the things I work into every year I rototill just to work in the amendments to keep the soil like extra fertile and to keep the tilth working well.
Now, you mentioned this, and many people out there who are just like, I guess, rookie gardeners, you mentioned green sand. So tell people, what is green sand?
Green sand is kind of that secret ingredient that the really good organic gardeners use. It comes from mineral deposits, and it's mined, and it's just green sand is what it looks like, but it's very high in different trace minerals, and it adds a whole different level of nutrition to the soil besides nitrogen. Nitrogen is easy to come by, and most people put too much nitrogen into their gardens and onto their lawns. This puts the other part in there where it helps with disease, helps with root growth, and it helps to add extra tilth to the soil too. It's getting a little harder to find. The EPA has been a little restrictive now on some of the mining sites, so you have to kind of shop around for it. A lot of it comes out of Texas now. They call it Texas green sand. But just look for that online. Look for sales. Look for somebody who wants to do free shipping because it's kind of heavy to get it in. But I've been using that like almost every year. I'll just add a little bit to, in addition to everything else I do. And I think it's really one of my secret ingredients there at all.
Well, it's not secret anymore because the world just found out.
And some of the other things, you're getting out now in the early spring, so the smells are out there, the winter smells are going away, and the spring smells are coming along. You know, nature's starting to wake up now, and you're getting out there, getting exercise, you're connecting with the earth. The sounds are out there, whether it's birds are starting with some of their mating calls, or they're just out talking to each other, selling where the food supplies are. Maybe you have a set of wind chimes out there, liven things up, a little sound into the yard. And getting the bed shaped, and then taking time to look up. Like you're looking down the whole time at your soil and at the garden. Look up at the sky and enjoy the spring cloud formations and the blueness of the sky and as the weather patterns start to change now with the season.
And one of the things, and you know this because you and I also are big birders and we have our feeders in different locations, and some of your feeders happen to be over the garden. So it's now time that the feeders are slowly disappearing from your garden. I know that as you're doing your rototilling and getting, you know, this, I guess, getting out there, it's spring training, like spring baseball, spring training in your garden, and they start to. And one of the fun things is every now and then you'll get one of your volunteer sunflowers from some of the sunflower seeds. And I just like, as you're describing all this, I'm going, hey, I remember the 1 year you had the volunteer sunflower come up and all that. So you've got that piece of it. Now, on your top 10, what do you have as number four?
Well, certainly going to the nursery and websites to look at reviews on seeds and plants. Like, there's nothing like that. Because, again, it's the promise of things to come. Like, I'm going to have this little itty-bitty plant. I'm going to get 500 tomatoes off of it. You know, I'm going to put this one little seed in. I'm going to get 20 or 30 cucumbers from it. So there's always that promise there of picking new plants, looking through catalogs, getting some ideas. Certainly going to the nursery, cross-country nurseries, that you've taken me out there to Janie's, and that's chiliplants.com, and that's a great place to go. There's such a variety of things to look at out there and also on her website. So I've been experimenting with a lot of new plants that, you know, as long as I've been gardening, these are totally new varieties I've never grown before, and I've had some really good success with a lot of them and some new flavors, new shapes, new colors. Yeah, so that's been a lot of fun. And just talking with experts and other fellow gardeners, exchanging information. What did they do last year? Maybe something different I hadn't thought about that worked really well. And consequently, something that may work very poorly, too, and you don't want to repeat their mistake. So just exchanging information, you know, whether you do that through Facebook or you have emails or face-to-face. I mean, there's so many different ways to communicate with gardeners, fellow gardeners, and especially organic gardeners. I think we're always looking to exchange information with each other.
Well, I always find that is people in the outdoors love to share. You know, you look at birders and they try to help each other out, and fishermen try to help each other out, and gardeners. And it's just that, I guess, that common bond that you have. And as you're discussing about cross-country nurseries, you know, I've done research with Janie out there. So some of my research, I used to be the director of the Chili Pepper Research Lab. And they have 500 varieties of chili peppers from around the world. And as you know, when we were down on the farm, they call it a nursery, but it's a large farm. And you get down there and you saw that you can get from the sweetest to the hottest, and any pepper plant from around the world, any tomato plant, any basil, any eggplant, it's there. So I share this with you because some of you will want to go online. And you know, those of you that like the ghost pepper, the Buccioloki, the hottest, believe it or not, the hottest pepper in the world, Inspector Dave, is our number one selling pepper. And I can eat hot, and I can't even come close to that one there. And when you go chiliplants.com, it's C-H-I-L-E, like chile. So that's how you spell that one. Now, going back to you, let's talk about your number five on your top 10.
Water harvesting. Now, we all think about harvesting our plants, but we also need to harvest water for our garden. And I do a lot of that via rain barrels. And so I'm always looking on the lookout for new rain barrels, new pickle barrels, food grade barrels that I can use in the system. Always looking to expand my capacity, looking at how I can catch a little bit more water, how I can trick each storm so I get the maximum amount of water out of a cloud burst without, if I'm not home, how I can still collect all that water. Trying to automate my system a little bit so that it's more, I don't have to be there to plug a pump in to pump it. And also keeping the maintenance of the system. And it's just like an engineering feat. I mean, I catch the water on the house off the gutters and the downspouts. I pump it out to a rack that I have in the back, and there's barrels on top of that rack. And I have to make sure that I'm protecting it from mosquitoes, protecting it from algae growth, and any critters getting into it. And then that water gets put down into a subsurface irrigation system that's made by Irrigrow. It's a Tyvek-type tubing, and it's the only place in the world, I think, that's making this. I've used it for 30 years. I just kind of stumbled across it, but it's a tube that just weeps underground. So I'm always like enjoying playing with that, with the little putting it all together and reading their website. And I just had some people the other day, I was showing them the whole components of it all. And I kind of take it for granted because I've been using this system for 30 years. But somebody walks in cold and sees this system, it is so impressive, but it's really just so basic. But you still have to do a little construction to get the rack to put the barrels on, so you get some gravity pressure out of the water barrels. And it's so much fun just like moving water around and kind of making sure it gets to the plants in the most efficient manner that there is.
Well, you're one of the few people that loves to play with water and not be swimming in water. So I know that. And one of the episodes that we filmed was actually you setting up that whole system, so they can go to joeyb.tv and take a look at that and watch that. And we also went down with Farmer George at Aspergillus Farms, if you remember that adventure. And you were able to talk to Farmer George about how he irrigates on a large scale system too. So that was a pretty cool day too. Right. So, you know, you and I always out there in the field, so to speak, learning as well.
Yeah. And with the droughts now that are coming, you know, water management is so important for everybody, whether it's for your lawn, for your house, for everything. We have to start conserving water every day in everything we do that and uses water. We want to ensure that it's used properly and efficiently. And I'm always looking for that. I just bought a little gadget for one of my toilets on top. It's a little water diverter. It's supposed to save me like 5 gallons of water a week or something like that. So that's like just a fun little like $7 item that I added in there. So water, playing with water and trying to find the most efficiency. I was just at a course recently, and there's all these new plumbing things that are coming out because of California and places in the Middle East where water is very scarce. They're really coming out with a lot of different water-saving technologies out there. So look around for them, and I think they're worth investing in.
And I'm listening and learning as usual. So number six on your top 10 list is
the birds and the bees.
You're not going to tell us that story, are you?
Well, the outdoor adventure story. You know, housing for birds, you know, having a birdhouse out there. It's good to put a few different styles in if you have the room for it. And you can buy them or you can make them yourself. They're pretty easy from little kits. You know, locating them, cleaning them out, getting them ready for the spring, you know, for the people. Having a water source nearby for them because they need to have water, birds. And also bees, they need to have a water source nearby because they need that to help make their honey or their mud or whatever type of bee is around. They need a little bit of moisture. In the wintertime, I have a little plug-in heater that I put in my bird bath so that during a really, really cold spell, there is available water for the birds to go to for drinking and for occasion they take a bath in the middle of winter. looking around at the pollinator plants. I want to make sure I'm having a good variety of plants in the garden as many months as possible so that the bees have a place to go. Like even now, late in the year, you get into like an October, November area, there's still a lot of flowers out there. The bees are still active, and they'll be active until the temperature gets really cold. So they'll still be looking to forage and find some pollen and, you know, keep building up their stores for the winter. And then you want early spring flowers too, because the bees, after a hard winter, a lot of times they're starving and really running out of the stores of honey that they put away. So you want to make sure you have some very early flowering plants also with good pollen for the bees. So you want to look into that, see what grows well in your area. And putting feeders out for the birds. We found the seed bells that we've been using now worked really well for us. Really inexpensive, and you hang a seed bell, has its own little mesh hanging cord that you put it on. We just hang it on our feeders, squirrel proof feeders, and we give the black oil sunflower seed out to the birds over all the storms. And I just know that the birds are helping me, returning the favor with some insect control in the garden, throwing mosquitoes, maybe some pests that are in the garden, aphids and all that. So, you know, the birds, bees, and gardeners, they all go together.
And as you mentioned, with the birds, a lot of people will feed in the hopes that the birds, because some birds feed on seed as well as insect. So by having the seeds out there, keeping the birds around, and then logically they would nest near your property. And when they're turning some of their diet over to insects, there's your insect control right there. And one thing about birdhouses, and you and I have always discussed this, the size of the hole in the birdhouse will draw a specific type of bird in. So you can do some reading on that. You can go online. There's a million different plans. If you're a little handy, easy to build houses. And the one thing that you don't put on your birdhouse is a little perch, because that allows birds that will come in, birds that are foraging on other birds, can land on that perch and actually grab one of the chicks from there. So that's one thing. So once again, doing a little reading with the birdhouses and construction, very important. Now, your number 7 of your top 10 is?
Well, planting days. I mean, there's nothing like, and Nick, being out there, putting all your little plants in that you just picked and did all your research on, and some seeds. And planting can go over several weeks. It's not like one day, oh, planting day is here. You may have one major day when you're putting things out, but you want to be out on that a variety of days, because you want to spread out your crops a little bit, especially seeds that are very vigorous, and like squash or string beans, you want to spread out several different weeks of planting time for that. But you're out enjoying the spring weather. The frosts are gone now. It's time to plant. You're out in the sunshine. You're bringing your vitamin D levels up. You're feeling good. Again, I'm doing my engineering with all my cages. I'm thinking about my staking, my cages, how my plants now that are 2 inches tall are someday going to be 6 or 7 foot tall. And I want to make sure that they're ready to go, ready to get any storm that comes along, or wind or a big thunderstorm, that they can endure through that storm period. And collecting stakes, always on the lookout, you know, on the curb as I'm driving down the street, somebody's putting a bunch of things out that might be good for stakes, because you never have enough stakes. You know, they tend to go bad over the years. And looking for different tie-up ways or ways to support, looking for string at garage sales I can make trellises with, and just always on the lookout, you know, for things for the garden.
And let me just say this, from your number 2, which is planning, and number 7, which is your planting, and you have often mentioned this, it's like you go in the nursery, or you're growing it on your own from seed, and you have this tiny little plant, never expecting, especially if you're the rookie gardener, that this tiny little plant isn't going to stay tiny. It's going to explode and become this large plant. So you need to plan for those plants, and the spacing becomes very, very important. And actually, you and I also filmed a episode on plant spacing as well. So I think that one in itself is just very important. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go to your number 8, which, knowing you and your mechanical side, is one of your favorites of your top 10.
Oh, equipment maintenance and repairs. You know, as a kid there, that was one of my first big jobs I had, working in a outdoor equipment repair shop. So all the old lawnmowers and rototillers and chainsaws and snowblowers and all, like, you know, I just always had a good mechanical aptitude for working on things. And my fleet of equipment is like quite old. You know, my snowblower goes back to 1978. My lawnmowers go back to that era. My rototiller, I don't even know. I picked that up at a garage sale 30 years ago. So I don't know how old it was when I got it back then, but it still runs. And so it's a lot of fun keeping these older pieces of equipment that I'm quite familiar with, so it's easy for me to fix them. You go online to find parts. It's a challenge. Go on eBay, and the different guys that are in the garages probably have 5 inches of dust on these parts and are happy to sell them to me. So it's like tracking down little parts for these obscure little mowers. I endure the abuse from some of my neighbors when they see me out with my antique equipment there cutting the grass and all that, but it's like, hey, this stuff does the job. I can know how to fix it, so it doesn't cost me a lot of money. And it's just enjoyable. Even when I order stuff, I kind of have fun with this. The shippers, I always put Dave's Antique Lawnmower Repair Shop. Nobody ever says anything, but to me, it's just fun to put that on there. I don't know if they even pick up on that.
Well, Inspector Dave, here's the audience should know about. You don't just have one lawnmower. Tell us about your fleet of lawnmowers.
Well, I have a fleet of Lawn Boy lawnmowers, and these were the old two-cycle where you mix the gas and the oil. One is set up for cutting grass with a rear bag on it. The second one is set up with a plug on it, so it's a mulching mower. So it just recycles the grass clippings. That's my most popular mower. And the third one is set up to shred leaves. So it's only for that messy time where I have to vacuum up leaves with the lawnmower and shred them. And it has a big attachment and a large bag that goes on for that. So that's my mower assortment.
Well, you know, it's funny. Your neighbors would probably think that you're still using the same lawnmower because they're all that Lawn Boy green color. Yeah, yeah. So they're all the same. I just thought I'd throw that in there. So tell us more about your equipment.
Well, also, you know, working on my snowblowers, you know, and helping out Joey with his equipment too. We have some older equipment here too. We're in some newer stuff. So we work on making sure our snowblowers are ready for that first big storm. You know, and you want to do that when it's warm, like in September, October. You don't wait till it's December and it's freezing. You're out in the garage with gloves on trying to work on your snowblower because the snow is going to snow in 24 hours. So you want to make sure that we get to that ahead of time. And then our hand tools. I like cleaning up with the hand tools. And hand tools have a big place still in the garden. You don't always want to drag out some type of power equipment. You want to use the hand tools back to nature. So you want to sharpen things, keep things clean, keep the handles good on your shovels. You know, keep your pruners working properly, and then looking maybe to replace ones that are worn out.
Well, you know something, and you know that your dad taught you and my dad taught me well, where we do all this maintenance before, and every time there's a major storm in the country somewhere and it's on the news, they go right away to a hardware store where people are racing to buy shovels, people are racing to buy some type of de-ice, whatever it is, and the stores are out of stock instead of gets back to your planning. Instead of planning and preparing for those, and correct, one of the episodes we also filmed was called Tools of the Trade.
Yes.
And you remember how many shovels and different types of shovels between my stores and your stores of shovels?
Boy, if we got a commission on every kind of shovel we have between the two of us, we'd be set for life.
That would be it. Now, you also mentioned about cleaning up all those tools and sharpening, and I think that's very important. And it's good to learn from someone, sharpening technique, so to speak. You're very good from it, or good at it. My dad, and I've learned, again, I'm not as good as my dad, and I know that, but I've learned some of those sharpening skills from him as well. Now, going to your number 9, I think is a very interesting one that it's on your top 10.
Garden tours and visitors. I mean, there's nothing like having people coming into the yard that appreciate all your hard work and appreciate the harvest. A lot of times they're coming to get some vegetables, and that's fine too. I love to share my excess produce with people. And whether it's friends or family or maybe the community food bank, that's another place you can share your excess produce with. So it's a lot of fun bringing people through there, and they ooh and ah, and they look. And some people are just overwhelmed by the sheer volume of what goes on. Other people come because they don't believe how productive my small garden is, like the amount of produce that comes out of it. People, they just think, they don't believe it, you know, that there's no way that you can produce that many cucumbers, that many things. Like this year alone, I had 60 butternut squash out of the garden in addition to all my other harvests that I had there. And people are like, how can you possibly grow that many? But it's easy with the right seed, the right fertility, the right water, the right sun exposure. That is really so. It's good just to for people to understand that. And then we're trying to mentor some beginning gardeners, some of the community gardeners that are at the township plot. They're looking to get some lessons and they want to learn some better ways of doing things. And gardening is a lot of work. There's no question about it that gardening is fun, but there is a lot of labor involved with it. And that's one of the things that as I try to get some of the newbies coming in to start very small. And that's important that you don't want to just start, I'm going to do 500 square feet of garden in my backyard. I'm going to grow this, 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 and this. I'm going to have enough. I'm going to feed the whole neighborhood. So you'll last about a month. And you have to start small, work your way up as your skills and the soil and the water supply and everything kind of grows, you know, with your knowledge. Then you're going to grow to a certain level, and like that's enough time that you don't have the right amount of time now to devote any more to it. So that's, you know, a way to really get people there. And artists come in the yard. They like to sketch a lot of the flowers. You know, we got good different types of flowers in there. And sometimes it's just nice to sit back on the patio and have a little snack and enjoy what's around us and just enjoy the scene.
And as you're describing all of this with your garden tours and all, and I know many people just want to see it, and as you said before, don't believe. And that's the difference between what we'll call a conventional garden that's spraying the Miracle-Gros, the chemicals, and your organic garden. And the bounty inside your organic garden is by far much greater and obviously much healthier to eat. And that leads us to your number 10, which to me is what gardening is all about. So tell us about your number 10.
It's harvesting, of course, going out there and getting the bounty of your work. You know, but when you're out there, you're not just like run to get that tomato or run to get that first pepper that's out there. Enjoy the trip out there. Enjoy the trek across your lawn or across the area that takes you out there. Enjoy the plants, the flowers that are there, and the fruits that are there. Before you start to pick them, just take a moment to just look at it and enjoy what it looks like and realize how much went into that, how much of your labor and all that nature has done to keep that plant growing, and the seed producers and every there's so many people that have a little part, you know, in your garden and to making that grow, you know, somewhere along the line. And enjoy the bees. The bees will be buzzing around out there. They'll be active too, whether they're honeybees or bumblebees or all different types of pollinators. You know, looking at that, you know, when you look at insects, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, you got the good insects that are lady beetles that are around, and other predators that will help control any bad insects. And then you got the aphids and the tomato hornworms and some of those people. And then you get the really uglies like cicadas and all that. They're just sitting there on the plant looking at you with their big bulging eyes or leaving their exoskeleton there. So we want to look at enjoying all the insects that are out there too. And they're all over, high, low, in between, flying around, landing on things, sometimes landing on you. But that's a big part of it too. And then knowing that you're growing something out there that's good for you, that's healthy, that it's a good, wholesome food. Your family's enjoying it. They're getting the benefits. You know, your friends, and all these people that really... some of the people that my vegetarian friends just go totally crazy for waiting for some of the things that I have there, because they just find that the flavors, the textures, and the way it responds to cooking, that our vegetables that we have in our garden are just superior to anything they've come across. But again, it's fine ripened. When you have anything that's fine ripened and locally produced, it's going to be superior because there's no breakdown in the flavors and the chemicals and the nutrition and everything that's within that plant itself. Chemicals, I mean, like the natural chemicals that occur, the sugars and all that. And just having a good health and the peace of mind, knowing that it's not sprayed with chemicals, that there's no insecticides anywhere on there, that all there is just whatever in the air, you just take everything inside, wash it off real good, and it's ready to go. You don't have to worry about, oh, I can't eat this part of the fruit because there's a chemical here or there's pesticide residue there. So harvesting really is the fun part. Then harvesting can be a lot of work too, and you should really watch our video where we talk about harvesting, because there are techniques to harvesting too, to extend your harvest and to protect your plant. So be sure you read that harvest or see that harvesting video.
Now, as you share all this, and we've got through your top 10, see, to me, I guess they can't see this, but the best way to end this show is we're going to leave the studio right now. But I am heading over to your organic garden because you still have that nice crop of arugula coming in. And I'm going to head to the arugula patch, so to speak, and prep for a nice meal for me here today. So, Inspector Dave, as usual, top 10 is awesome. Learning from you is awesome. Friendship, and that's what we do in the outdoors, and great friends, whether we're fishing or kayaking or I head over to your organic garden. Always having fun, always learning from each other. So I just want to thank you for a great day.
Okay, and thanks for having me and really giving me this opportunity to share my knowledge with other people. That means so much to me, and I thank you for the opportunities that you've given me over the years.
Hey, it's a voice, and it's a great voice. Thanks for watching. Actually, we say thanks for listening. We were watching. That's on the episodes on the TV stuff. But you know what? It's a good thing they can't see us, right? No, I'm joking. There you go. Thank you for listening. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.